Christ.
I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. In our service today, we prayed for the General Synod, and we recognize that it's a big event in the life of the Church. There's going to be pros and cons discussions this coming 2 weeks in Vancouver, and it will change to some degree the shape of the Church going forward. But it's going to be a powerful time, and it's part of the tradition of the Church that we are seeing here in Vancouver coming up, where people have brought in a public gathering together from all parts of Canada, all the various dioceses of Canada, 30 different dioceses, many, many parishes, have come together with various points of view, and they're going to be asking the Holy Spirit to give them guidance as they work together at speaking truth to power. And this has been one of the traditions of the Anglican Church since its inception in the 1600s. And it's been a tradition of the Church from the beginning. If we go back and even look at the first reading that was read today by Lisette, we saw in there that there was truth to power being given. And it went forward into the New Testament reading from Paul. And we saw it in the Old Testament reading, there was the healing of Naaman. And that was healing was he only had to wash himself in the Jordan River. Can you imagine the fear of his soldiers, of his servants, when he was in a rage, and he said to him, chill, calm down. No, if they'd asked you to do something difficult, you would have done it. And all they've asked you to do is bathe in the river. So go do it and see what happens. What do you got to lose, man? And so he did, and he was healed. But it took strength and courage to speak the truth to the power. The power was the leader, and the people who were his servants had strength enough to speak to him. And that's one of the challenges always in the Church. Now, we ourselves here have shaped ourselves that we come from the progressive tradition of Anglicanism. We are a progressive Church. And sometimes we wonder what that means. And over the next number of weeks, I'm going to have a series of sharings about what does progressive Christianity mean? What is it about? I gave this series about 6 years ago, but it's time to do it again. And so I'm going to be sharing this throughout the rest of the summer and into the early fall. But the essence of it is that we are people of the new creation. Just as it was said in Galatians today, we are the people of the new creation. And let's put that in context. Paul was helping to form a church that primarily had Jewish people in it, but Gentiles were gradually coming into the church. And there was a change happening. For while they looked like they were Jewish at first, they were not Jewish. They were breaking some of the traditions of Judaism. And they were dealing with the issues of the people of their own time, dealing with the issues of the Gentiles. And they were making converts, and people were joining. But they weren't the same as the Jewish church they were leaving. They had some of the roots, but they were changing. And progressive Christianity is much the same. It is an emergent kind of a journey where we have the foundations of Christianity, but we try to apply the spirit of Jesus' ministry and teaching to what we are dealing with today in our daily lives. That we are not just following a tradition of theologies that were developed 400 years ago or 1,000 years ago, or 1,500 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, but dealing on those principles of love and compassion, but applying them for the people who are living now, to you and your extended families, to the world and all the situations we know, and including the knowledge that we know now, instead of pretending this knowledge does not exist. Trying to make the church, in a way, as it always has been, present and in love and concern for the needs of people who are living now. And not trying to pretend that we're living 2,000 years ago with the understanding of life of 2,000 years ago, but living with the understanding of life as it is today. And that is the essence of progressive Christianity. I'm going to give you a little definition, and I'll probably send it out in my notes today. The first element of progressive Christianity is conserving the values of Jesus. Conserving the values of Jesus. Jesus always came in love, always came in restoration, always came in forgiveness, always came with understanding, and always came with reaching out to the marginalized. That was the way of Jesus. So the marginalized of Jesus' own day were the Samaritans. The marginalized were the lepers, were the Gentiles, were the tax collectors, were the women of the night. All these people were marginalized, but Jesus included them all. The emergent church today includes the marginalized of our own time in a way of care, in the way of extending love, extending a sense that you belong, that you're not an outcast. Just because you are different, it doesn't mean you don't belong. And you're going to see some of that played out in the General Synod this coming week. For the progressive part of the church will be proclaiming that. And some parts of the church don't quite accept that. And so there will be a push back and forth. Just like there was years ago, a push back and forth. If somebody was divorced 40 years ago, they were outcasted. Today they are not. 20 years ago, somebody who all of a sudden emerged and found out that they love somebody of their own gender, they would be outcasted. But today there's a push to say, God loves all of God's creation, and those people are included. And that is going to be the central debate at this week's General Synod in the Anglican Church. And it's already had a ripple effect in our own diocese over the last 20 years, but this is going to be for all of Canada. And some parts of the Anglican Communion are telling us if we do this and include in the marriage canon everybody who can have a legal marriage in Canada as a part of the church, they may expel us from the Anglican Church. So there's that tension is going to be there. But progressives are saying we have to conserve the values of Jesus. And Jesus always took risks in love. Another element of progressive Christianity is following the social justice vision of the church. If you read in the book of the Acts, which is the continuance of the Gospel of Luke, you will see in there where the early church shared its resources with one another. There was a sense of building family. The family was not just who parented you or whose cousin you were, that familial family, but it's a sense that once you are baptized, you are baptized into this new family, this new creation, where we share and support one another. We support our differences, but we also bring everybody together in love in one family. No one is to be excluded. No one is to be pushed aside. In a way, you could say it was a come-as-you-are party. where we accepted you as you are. And that's part of what it means to be a progressive Christian. And also, and I mentioned it a little earlier, a second ago, it's a progressive Christianity tries to deal with the idea of issues that come to the fore today. Let me give you an example. We recently celebrated the return to Earth of Canada's astronaut. We may have seen him land in Russia and how woozy he was, and you know, it was kind of a rough landing for him. But the whole idea of space has changed everybody's understanding of God. We used to have this idea that God was a being. And today there's a movement that God is a creating force of the universe. And so a lot of young people say, I don't really want to have anything to do with this idea of God as a being, the old man in the sky kind of idea. But I do accept that God is a creating force of love and restoration in my life and in the world and in the whole of the universe. And so the emergent church is starting to teach that, and that's part of being a progressive Christian, because there's some that say if it's not in the Bible, it isn't. But that's forgetting that the Bible is a human product made by human beings, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but still fallible because it's humans doing it. Progressive Christianity accepts that the Bible is important. The Bible is central, but it's not the only word. The first word of God is the creation itself, the creation of the universe. And it's okay to include that in our spiritual journey and in our thoughts. And so all of that is a part of the package of progressive Christianity. And we're going to spend time in the next few weeks looking at more in detail. There are 8 basic points, and I'm just going to read them quickly, and then we're going to spend time with each one. The first is, I believe that following the path and teachings of Jesus can lead to an awareness and experience of the sacred and the oneness and unity of all life. Not just to humans, but all life is connected. Number 2, affirm that the teachings of Jesus provide but one of many ways to experience the sacredness and oneness of life, and that we can draw from diverse sources of wisdom in our spiritual journey. Our former bishop, Michael Ingham, wrote a book called The Mansions of the Spirit. And in there he implies and says, there are many pathways to God, not just the Christian pathway. And progressive Christians accept that. Who am I to say that my understanding of God is the only valid understanding? There is many pathways to God. Number 3, seek community that is inclusive of all people, including but not limited to conventional Christians and questioning skeptics, believers and agnostics, men and women, those of all sexual orientations and gender identities, those of all classes and abilities. That's number 3. Number 4, know that the way we behave towards one another is the fullest expression of what we believe. Number 5, find grace in the search for understanding and believe there is more value in questioning than in absolutes. We are on a journey, and we are always in a dynamic relationship with each other, with ourselves, and with God. Number 6, strive for peace and justice among all people. 7, strive to protect and restore the integrity of our earth. We're pretty aware of climate change. And number 8, commit to a path of lifelong learning, compassion, and selfless love. Those are the hallmarks of progressive Christianity. And as I said, we are going to explore each of those over the summer. But for this week, we will see that happening in Vancouver. And I ask for your prayers. And I invite you all, as you contemplate today, Think about your own values. Think about, who am I in my journey with the Holy Other? And who am I in my journey with myself and those around me? And as we receive the sacrament to which you're all invited, may that sense of the presence of God within us animate us and give us energy and courage to proclaim the vision of Jesus through our life, actions, and words in the world around us. May God bless us all. Amen.